Gamer's Confessional.
Hello and welcome to the Gamer's Confessional episode 121, or as Pet's dating app likes to call it, episode 121, you know where to get Greek. So with me, we do have the aforementioned Adonis. Pet, you with me?
Yes, hello.
And we have the Lancashire hot pot himself, Mr. Clarkey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, indeed. Oh, look, he's got a big smile on it. He's rocking in his... He's got this new swivel chair, ladies and gentlemen. And my God, if you thought VR made you sick, you want to try watching Clarkey on Skype. It's making me so nauseous.
It's really horrible, Clarkey, honestly. Oh. You stop spinning.
No.
It's like watching Davros on a roundabout. It's just like, oh, dear God. Anyway, hello, everybody. We're back, and we're all feeling upbeat. Tonight, I'm drinking a nice Hobgoblin, a nice traditionally crafted legendary Ruby beer. Tonight's episode sponsored by the Hobgoblin. I don't know why. I think it might be left over for several...
It's not sponsored by them at all. They've given us no money.
Shut up, man. They might send me some beer. You're ruining it.
Yeah, but me and Pet aren't fucking hipsters.
No.
We don't want
to. No, but next week might be sponsored by Ferrari, so shut your lips, right, and we'll get on with it.
And they're just going to send us free Ferraris.
Yeah, that's how it works, man. Jesus, look at...
Get up, there's a different... Here is your new Ferrari.
Yeah, PewDiePie and all that. He gets, like, shit thrown to him all the time, man. He's just got to, like, ask for it, and they send him everything.
The only time I was proper going to be sponsored was from my YouTube videos when the PlayStation community manager said, oh, I'm going to send you all this DLC, and he didn't send me anything.
Well,
he said,
I'm not going to get into a console. All I'm saying is if Xbox had done it, they'd have sent you loads. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you picked the wrong side there, my friend. Anyway, welcome to the Gamer's Confessional. Tonight we've got an interesting show. It's less VR-based, more a Nintendo-based show. So, as I said to Clarkie, I'm going to step out for a little while and let these two talk about the Nintendo. But I've got nothing to bring to this, but we'll go with it anyway. So, Clarkie, do you want to go first this time? You don't often get to go first. You normally have to sit there for an hour while we talk about VR and stuff. Oh, yeah,
since Pet kindly told me what he was going to talk about tonight, I will take the opportunity to go first and then I can go away for 45 minutes.
Good plan. So, what you got, fella?
I picked up the DLC for Zelda Breath of the Wild. And you called it, Vimesy, on this one.
I did. I did indeed call it. I remember it well.
He doesn't know what you called it.
No, he doesn't remember, does he?
I did.
You expressed some interest in the Hero's Path
mode. I did. I said that was going to be a very interesting mode. This is the mode that shows you where you've been since you basically booted the game up.
And it... Exactly.
And it would show you all sorts of stuff that you haven't been to.
He doesn't know anything.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
He just nailed it there. That's exactly what he does, Pet.
Yeah, in your box, Petros.
But what?
In your box, Petros. In your box, Petros. Yeah, new charm. Ringtone, everyone. Ringtone. But speaking of T-shirts, Pet, you got anything to add? He's going all quiet, ladies and gentlemen. Pet, have you got... anything to add?
He's holding his hand up.
It's coming this month. I said it was coming in June.
Did you? In July. Is what you said. Okay. So there's those two lovely people who won their T-shirts 6 weeks ago will be expecting it in the mail.
Dave and Ben.
Hold on. Is that the distinct smell of Trojan horse shit that I smell?
No, it's coming.
Are you going to redesign these T-shirts to incorporate some kind of Christmas design maybe? Some bells or something? Maybe a Santa sleigh? No?
I'm a man of my word, and they will come, goddammit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he says to all the girls.
Anyway, Zelda. Tell me about Zelda, Clark.
Sorry, that just tickled me a little bit. Yeah, the Hero's Path function did its job well, because when I booted it up, it made me see I'd, like, missed 70% of the map.
So how long have you played Zelda for now, hours-wise, you reckon?
I think I'm up to nearly 60 now.
60, so about, what, half of The Witcher 3?
No, I only did about 70 or 80 on Witcher 3.
Oh, my God, you got to go back.
Yeah. No, it was really nice. So I kind of started zooming in on the map and thinking, oh, I wonder what's there. And I was finding stuff as well. It wasn't a case of I was wandering somewhere and there was nothing there. I mean, I found two new bosses like unique bosses that aren't sort of monsters you meet several times, you know, like those giants that are let down sleeping.
Oh yeah.
Not like those. This is like a brand new boss. There's only one of them.
Okay.
Like the one in the desert that came out, like the tremor.
The fish thing, yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah.
And the other one was on top of the snowy mountain in the south. That's a really good fight, that is, because you have to do it while you're on the hang glider. Down the.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. That's to. My God, you didn't explore anything, mate.
I keep telling you, boys, you've got to go around the edges of the map.
Yeah, you told me you never found any of the dragons.
No, I found the one on the Snowy Mountain, yeah.
No, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you find the Lynel on the little island behind the Snowy Mountain?
No.
Oh, that was a really creepy thing. After I'd done the dragon, I went down to that island, and you know those Lynel things? It's like lion, horsemen, hybrid thingamajigs.
Oh, yeah.
I was sort of walking around in a set path around this tiny little island, and there's like a ruin on one side, and there's two or three treasure chests there. And I was kind of sneaking around the rocks, and then my head just poked up a tiny little bit, and then the question mark appeared above the Lynel's head, and it was like, oh, I just like moved a few steps forward and stopped. And then it was there for about a minute, just fucking staring at where I'd been stood. And I'm like,
They're really tough as well.
I know, that's why I was trying to avoid it. I'm thinking, why hasn't it resumed its walking animation? And I thought, maybe it'll do it in a minute. Anyway, about a minute later, it just lets out this massive roar and just lets loose an electric arrow, like in the exact spot I was stood in. I thought, fucking bastard, it's just like waiting there for me. So I just ran up to the Colosseum, opened the treasure chest quickly, and teleported the shit out of there. It's like I say, I'm still finding all these great experiences, and even more so now with this. Sort of going off the beaten track. Did you do the entire side quest around the new town?
Me?
Well, it ain't going to be me, is it, Pat?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be Vine, is it?
What new town?
There's a side quest you can do. You get it in one of the other villages, and you basically help a guy build an entire town.
Oh no, I haven't done that yet. No.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That is, you know, that was like 2 or 3 hours of content doing that.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then these are things that were already in the base game, but you know, I kind of missed because I didn't have this like Heroes Path thing making me think, oh, I'll go here.
I think it's a really good idea, because it's a bit like, I think one of the things you remember, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it back to something that I know about. But do you remember The Witcher 3 came out, and I had a little bit of a. Not a moan, but I was kind of like, I don't understand why they put all the question marks. They put all the quest markers on the map from the get-go. So you start the game, and if you zoom out on the world map, there are question marks everywhere. But actually, that's dead useful, because it tells me all the places I haven't been yet. So I actually booted on last week and went back to a little corner that I hadn't been and did a few extra quests, because I knew that I hadn't been there because there were quest markers there. So this Hero's Path or whatever is a really good idea. Especially on a world
It is. It's this really nice little function as well. You can rewind it right to the very beginning of when your quest started.
Yeah.
And if you like press play, the little man starts like going around the map, and like every time you hear this little like and a little X look, and it's like it remembers every time you died during the game.
Jesus, what a function, eh? That's a really.
Yeah, but
idea.
I mean, the stuff I found just from doing that. I went to the top of the tallest mountain in the game as well, and there's like a really nice little oasis there with a pond and this like cherry blossom tree. Oh. And you just kind of know there's going to be some side quest associated with that as well. So I look forward to finding all this. But yeah, the other content on it, there's a lot of masks you can get. A Majora's Mask, I picked that up. That kind of let you go. You put that on, and certain enemies won't attack you.
Mm. Oh yeah, I saw that.
There's Midna's Mask from Twilight Princess. I'm not quite sure what that
is. So the other one that basically kind of gives you like a god mode, so if you just want to use it as a kind of casual exploring game.
Is that how
it works?
Not really, no, because it only works against certain enemies.
Oh right, okay.
And if you start dicking around, they'll think, hold on, there's something not kosher about this guy and attack you.
Can
anyway.
I go back to sort of Zelda 101? You know, like the
1-2-1.
Yeah, you know the big guardians, the kind of metal spiders that are half buried in the ground and stuff like that. Yeah. If you defeat those, are they permadeath? Are they stay dead, or is it when the red sky thing happens do they come back?
No, they come back.
Fuck.
No, they don't come back. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they do come back.
I mean, the Guardians don't come
not,
back.
Hang on. Pet, not the like the four main guys. I'm talking about just the ones in the world.
The enemies called Guardians, the spider things.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant like the...
No, you're thinking about the four main bosses or whatever it is. I don't know those. I mean, I've never got anywhere near those. It's weird. It's like, the more I hear about it, and I hear a lot about it, it's like, I really want to play that. But I remember playing it and just being like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not very good at making my own story up.
No, this is the thing. As I've been traveling around, I've been finding loads of, like, you know, the story's there. It's just kind of like hidden away from you a bit. There's little quests to do that unlock other quests. And I was just wandering around and I found this ruin with this like diary in it. And it was like a little tale on every page. But it was sort of highlighting things on every page. And I'm thinking, Jesus, these are all like individual side quests I'm reading here.
Yeah. But what are they? What are they? Because if it's like, I mean, like I say, you know how far I got, i.e. not very far at all. Right.
Well, it'll be a basic quest. It'll be fetch me this.
Because that's the problem. Because it's like I need some kind of. One of the things that kept me going through things like The Witcher or any other RPG is the fact that it's not just, you know, it's like why I never stick with MMOs. It's always like, well, they used to be go and kill 10 of that, go and kill 15 of that. And the thing I liked about more modern RPGs is that it's based. They at least they weave in some fucking narrative into it, so it's kind of more
interesting. To be fair, Vimesy, the only modern RPG that really does that is The Witcher, isn't
it? It's such a good one, don't you think?
Skyrim doesn't have narrative to it. They're all fetch.
But even
people seem happy enough with those.
Even dare I say it, something like Inquisition tried to do it. I tried to make it more interesting.
No, it didn't. Fucking didn't. It was shit.
I don't know.
Your game of the year at one point.
Can you stop bringing that up every episode? I'm just saying there were quests in that, because I remember we had fun with quite a few of the quests. Yeah. There was especially ones where you had to sit in judgment on people. I seem to remember you quite enjoying some of those. So it did some of it quite well, not all of it. But I found with Zelda it was really hard to kind of, for me, because I'm not that much of a creative gamer, I don't like free play, so I've never got on with things like Minecraft, and I've never got on with things like that where I've had to kind of make my own story up. I need to be kind of dragged by the, you know, by the hair through a story almost. And I found Zelda, it's a beautiful game, but I couldn't, I guess the exploring thing might have done it.
No, I know what you mean. It's not for everyone, is it? And right, the rest of the, what?
Can I ask you a quick, is there more Zelda stuff?
Yeah, that's absolutely, I'm only like
scratch the surface. I'll ask it at the end.
Right, the kind of main piece de resistance of the DLC is obviously the Trial of the Sword.
Yeah.
Now, what this is you what the fuck is he doing?
Sorry, well, I was distracted.
No, never mind. With the Trial of the Sword, it kind of pops up when the DLC loads. You get a tiny little cutscene, and it says, you know, you've got all of these things here. Go on, Vimesy, for fuck's sake.
What now?
It kind of pops up and says, you've got all these things
here. Can you tell your wife to get out of the room?
She's not in the room.
Yeah. And you, the Trial of the Sword one tells you to go back to the Deku Tree, where you sort of picked up the Master Sword.
Ooh.
And he tells you, there you go. He tells you if you reinsert it into the pedestal, you've got this opportunity to make it more powerful.
Ooh.
So you do that, and you're instantly transported away to the kind of like the shrines, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But when you arrive at them, you've basically got your Sheikah slate, and you're stood there in your shorts.
Effectively, in your boxes again.
You know, like that island that we found.
The epic island.
That's what it is. So you then have to get it presents it to you in sort of blocks. So the first block's like 15 levels. When you do those 15 levels, you'll get a 10-point upgrade to the base power of the Master Sword when you're using it in the game. But if you die...
A 10-point upgrade?
Yeah, so it's base That's levels. Huge. Yeah, yeah. It's base levels 30, isn't it? I'm up to 50 now because I've done two sets of them. But if on those 15 sort of trials, if you will, if you die on any of them, you're booted out to the beginning again.
And you can't. But can you start from the beginning? Yeah.
You start.
Do you lose anything apart from the time that you've taken to go through the trial?
You lose everything.
No, but do you like so when you start, you're in shorts and that's basically it, right? And you start your 15 whatevers, right? When you die, let's say I die on level 14, right? When I get kicked back out to the real world, I've not lost anything I didn't have before going into the dungeon.
No,
all the stuff I've gained in the dungeon is gone, but...
No, anything in the dungeon is gone and it's removed from you even when you complete
the 15. So there's no sort of... There's no risk there apart from wasting your time trying to do it.
Exactly. Oh,
that's good. I like that.
It disables the upgrades you get when you complete the four main dungeons. Obviously, Vimes, you won't know what we're talking about there, but Pet will. You can't use any of those powers, and anything that gives you an edge is disabled. So with your slate, the amiibo function's disabled because obviously, if you use an amiibo, you can give yourself food and stuff. So what you'll do, you'll arrive in the first room, and it'll be. It's kind of enclosed, so the outer walls of it look like the walls inside a shrine, but it might be a little bit of a forest. So in that forest, there'll be a couple of those little enemies sat around a campfire. You have to defeat them.
Bobber goblins?
Yeah. Oh, so they don't know you're coming.
Bobberkins. No, they're just sat there going about their business. Cool. So you then have to go and defeat them, so you can either sneak up on them and steal the weapons. The fact is, you're back to how you were when you first started the game, so you're going to twat them with a... So you go in and twat them with a tree branch. You defeat them, and then the pedestal will light up again. You stand on it, and it will transport you to the next room. And every sixth room is like a safe room, if you will. Mm-hmm. There'll be a couple of treasure chests in it. There's a little pond with some fish in, and there's also a campfire. Because you do pick up fruit and things as you go through, but obviously without cooking anything, the health value of that's really sort of minimal. So you need to kind of...
From going from level to level?
From room to room, you keep everything you've picked off. You only lose it once you come out. Yeah. So you want to avoid sort of taking too much damage, because you have to use your fruit before you've had a chance to cook it, which increases sort of the medicinal value of it, you're kind of wasting it there. So you do well to save it, cook it when you get to the save room, and it makes the next sort of block slightly easier.
So a couple of things. One.
Go on.
I've forgotten. But two, how long would it take you to go through from 1 to 15, say? How would it take an hour? Would it take half an hour? Would it take 45 minutes? I mean...
Depends how good you are, no?
It took me, I think, 45 minutes to an hour to do the first block.
That's not bad, then. But if you've wiped... Was that multiple retries, or was that just on your single run?
I think it was a couple of retries. Because obviously, if you die X amount of time, you know how to finish a room. You just sail through those ones.
That's the other thing. Do you need to know what's coming up to prepare for it? Because I don't like that when they sort of do like on the seventh room, it's a fire boss and it can only be defeated by the ice sword, which you didn't pick up. That kind of thing.
No. There's none of that. There's always a way around it. Some of them, you need to be really quick off the mark, because the second block of missions, one of them, you're beamed in and you're instantly kind of targeted by a guardian laser.
Right.
Mm. And you're like, you've not even had a chance to look around. And this particular room, it's the second block are more sort of more like the interiors of the shrine. So you've got a bottomless pit beneath you, several platforms around the edge, and there's a constant updraft, if you will.
Oh, God, just what I need.
So it's not really a jumping puzzle. The Guardian, it killed me straight away, because I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know what I was doing that time. If I'd have been quick enough, I'd have probably gotten away with it. But when I got back up, I figured out, right, okay, I need to glide right across to the platform that's underneath it and just need to kind of updraft, hit it, drop back down, updraft, hit it, drop back down.
Okay.
And then it'll throw you curveballs. I mean, I think the last four levels on that particular block were in darkness. So you have to make use of the torch and everything, and you fight one of those sort of one-eyed cyclops creatures, and all you can see of it, literally all you can see of it, is its fucking eye.
Oh,
It's really creepy. But no, every time you finish a block of them, you kind of get sent to this other place. You climb this staircase, and it's like, right, put the sword back in the pedestal, and it basically kicks you back out to the forest and with a 10-point upgrade. Nice. Then you're free to go around and roam around and come back and do them again at your leisure.
Just the...
No, go on, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say it's kind of like... I mean, that seems like quite a lot. How many blocks are there?
I think there's 60 levels, so there's...
So four sets of blocks. Okay, that sounds quite a lot. Considering the DLC, when you buy it, it's like it's only half the DLC that's been released, and it seems like quite a lot of content for £20 or whatever it was.
$17.99.
Yeah, and you're only paying like half that for this, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Well, that's damn good.
Well, no, because you have to buy the whole package. You can't buy
it. Isn't the whole package £18 or something?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so you're only paying £9 for this, this set of DLC.
The next one when it comes out.
What else is...
I found some fantastic new outfits, which actually it turns out were already in the original game and I hadn't found. I'm sporting a lovely little sleeveless top, which increases my climbing ability. Looking pretty cool now.
Oh, God. See, the problem I have is the more you bloody talk about it, the more I want to go out and buy it again. And that would just be really
I was really surprised because my interest in it was kind of waning. Now, you know, I was always going to back to it, but I'm just shocked how much this, like, one little DLC and having a fucking line on your map screen sort of made me think, all right, because I've been playing it all week. It's just been absolutely great fun playing it again. Mm. You know, I've got to a point now where I can confidently take on the Guardian enemies without having to just fucking run away and hide. Mm. So I'm finding it a lot more fun, and it's just that, I mean, kudos to the developers who made this game, because I mean, there's a lot of the stuff that they've, you know, some of those people have put time into that, you know what, 80% of people won't even necessarily
find. I'd love
to
see some of the metrics for it. Mm. You know what I mean? Because they must have like data on who's done what and all this sort of stuff. I'd love to see some of those metrics.
But no, it's little things. Just as you think you're doing something, you know, a particularly normal thing, it'll throw a curveball. Yeah, I went and found a went on a little shrine hunt, sort of build up a few more hearts, and I got to this seemingly ordinary shrine. No, there's this woman sort of collapsed over the pedestal that you use to activate it.
Yeah.
So you then have to.
Clarky's
very direct. It's like when Clarky makes love, he goes from A to B and nowhere in between.
I don't think it's that. I think I probably, you know, I'm telling you all these things, but you've probably missed some of the things that I found.
I missed quite a lot of what you found.
I have my own house in one village. I've built an entire town.
Mm. Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think you have rushed it in general, though.
He plays it his own way. It's like, for me, I only played like a little bit of it. So I literally played from, obviously, the starting area. I went straight through the Twin Peaks, whatever you want to call it. I went to the little horsey bit down the bottom there, the stables, up to the other little village where the first fairy is and all that, and then made my way up to the next town. So it's a little tiny bit of map, but I spent hours because I'm, you know, if there was something, anything in between, anything in my past, I went fucking left, right, and centre to go, you know, my line on the hero's path would just be a zigzag and kind of like that.
How many of the fairies did you find, Pet?
Oh, Pet's got loads. Two. Oh, right.
You say I found all four of them.
Yeah, but I've been really trying to. The fairies to me aren't that useful. Like,
well, they are because they, you know, they like really upgrade all of your armor and everything.
Yeah, but every time I've upgraded my armor, then I've gone somewhere else to another town and found it with the same numbers.
Well, no,
but you wouldn't if you haven't found the fairies
stuff. Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you know, those armor upgrades are the equivalent of something hitting you and taking off 8 hearts. And
yeah.
Can you go and get the Master Sword straight away?
Yes.
You can go.
I thought you had to pick up a certain amount of strength or something, isn't it?
You do. Yeah. You can go to it, but you can't pick it up. I think you need 13 hearts.
Right. Okay. So 24. Good. Right. Yep. Lovely. And what about the shieldy thing? The shieldy thing.
The shields, I think, is in Hyrule Castle somewhere.
Okay.
Again, that's something I rushed. I mean, Hyrule Castle is massive in itself, and I kind of cheesed my way to the top of it, if you will, kind of climbing up the outside.
Oh, see, I thought you'd go in and out of all that.
No, no. If you do it right, you can just go right to the fucking top and run straight in and
find when you beat Ganondorf.
Mm-hmm.
Does that stop the Red Moon?
No, the Red Moon always happens. What happens is when you defeat.
Fuck it! Someone at your door, man. Someone at your door. Someone at your door, Clarky. Yeah, they're door, breaking man. In. Oh,
they're not breaking in.
That's your daughter. Okay. My daughter.
How did you do? You got a silver certificate.
Whee!
Oh, look at that. Oh, you got a badge.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent progress in year 8.
Excellent. Oh, excellent.
Bliss. And what else have we got there? Another badge for 100% attendance.
Wow. Well, that's the first one in the Clarky family.
Oh, just you saying stop. Oh.
Stop. Speech because
you
heard the teachers betting how long the
speaker can. He is a bit boring, your head teacher. No, sorry about that, guys.
No, anyway, you carry on.
Oh, that's nice.
That's lovely. It's good to see that one of the Clarkies is actually getting an education. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, no, if you defeat Ganon, you kind of get the ending and everything, but the game resets to just before you walked in to defeat
him. Horizon Zero Dawn does a very similar thing.
Yeah, and you've just got a little star next to your save, sort of denoting that you've done it.
Mm. I would have liked it if you defeat him, the Red Moon stops, so that you can start wandering through the countryside and just exploring without having to worry about running into things.
Yeah, well, that's how the game sort of restocks enemies.
I know, but that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind doing that because, like, I thought the sort of the thing was tied to the fact that Ganondorf's there. That's why the Red Moon's happening. So therefore, if you beat stop. So therefore, if you went to an area, you could clear it out and just go exploring and find things without having to worry about being ganked.
But some of the shrines are tied into the moon as well, because then you can only access them at a certain time.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah, one of them you have to stand on top of it in your shorts again. Defeat multiple enemies.
They really like that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Mm.
What did you get if you finished the island? Like, what was the prize?
It was underwhelming, if I remember rightly. I think
really?
I think it was just a weapon or something like that.
Okay.
But no.
Okay.
Great value for
me. What else was in there? Was it the Hero's Path, the Trials? Several gunk.
Outfits. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of armor sets and the hard mode.
All right.
Super hard mode. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a second save slot where you can start the hard mode. And I mean, I believe this is absolutely brutal. You've got some of the enemies that are kind of suspended on floating platforms.
Yeah. Now that
was one good thing in the trial. There was nothing more satisfying when doing those trials and seeing one of those things firing arrows and they've got those four balloons and it's like, pop, one goes and the platform judders, pop, down it goes.
So funny.
That was actually something I didn't mention about that. With the weapon management in that Trial of the Sword, you've got to be really careful how you kill the enemies, because it's so easy to kind of glide up above them on the block of levels that has the updraft constantly. But if you kind of just strike down on them, it usually sends them careening into the abyss, and then you lose whatever they were carrying. So you kind of have to plan around how you're going to fight them as well, make it slightly different.
Ooh.
But yeah, the hard mode, I haven't started this yet, and I'm not sure if I ever will, although it sounds like a lot of fun. It kind of, you know, cranked it up to 100. I believe there's actually a Lynel in the starting area.
No.
There's a what?
One of the Lynel enemies.
Oh.
Yeah, there's one of those in there. I've just heard it is really, really difficult.
So
it becomes like Dark Souls then, basically.
I don't know. I don't know what else. Is that it on Zelda, Clarky? Is there more?
No,
that's fine. It's only because the next question that's popped into my head is basically, go on, Pet, have you got one of those fidget cubes?
Oh no!
You hipster fuck! What is wrong with you?
My friend, a colleague got it for me from my old place before I left.
Wow.
Okay, go on, ask the question.
Pet, what do you want to know?
Oh, I just wanted to ask Clarky, do you think this is the best Zelda game ever?
Yes.
Ooh.
Really? Well,
ooh.
For me, yeah. It's the one I've spent the most time on and the one I've enjoyed the most. I mean, I know you're very keen with the sort of top-down ones, but
yeah,
I mean, it just makes me wonder what they've got for the future for this. If they manage to sort of cram all of this game in, you know, a world that's kind of even bigger than Skyrim, what we're going to get in the next one, what they're going to add into it. And that was this was kind of always the sort of RPG I wanted, because, you know, we started getting stuff when the original PlayStation came out, like some of the Final Fantasy games that were really, really long, and, you know, there was hours and hours of stuff in there. But, you know, as the technology progressed, they were making the games look better, but they weren't making them bigger. They were getting shorter and shorter, and that's kind of what I didn't like about it. And, you know, until we started getting stuff like Skyrim and Witcher, we weren't getting that content. We were just getting, basically eye raped with graphics and, you know, having a 50-hour game trumped down to 20 hours. And for me, this is where Zelda's got it absolutely right. It's not cutting-edge graphics, but there's a hell of a lot of fucking stuff to do there. There's literally hundreds of hours of content.
Clarky, what was the name of the game that it was a one-off game? I think Kurt Schilling brought it out. It was an RPG, and it was really, really fucking good. It was amazing. It was... I could picture the cover in my head, but you could basically swap out anytime you wanted to. So if you could be a fighter, you could swap out and be a mage, you could do whatever. It's very simple controls, almost Fable-esque. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but that started to do the same sort of stuff that we're talking about well before anybody else even started doing it. You know what I mean? It had narrative, it had lots, it was really, really deep.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those games where it was well ahead of its time, I think, but it never really sold enough to kind of like...
No, I know what you mean,
To kind of make it, you know, sort of... Just make it kind of good enough and sell enough. So otherwise, the next version would have been absolutely fucking immense. Kingdoms of Amalur, that was it.
That was
such a good game. I mean, the demo went on for bloody hours. But it reminds me a lot of the bits I played of Zelda, not in the gameplay so much as the world linked up and stuff like that, and just the vastness of it and the feeling of it and stuff like that, and the fact that you could pretty much do anything at any point. You could kind of swap out and say, actually, no, I don't want to play this way, I'm going to try and play this way, depending on what weapon set you picked up or what skill set you decided you were going to take on, you know. And it was one of those games that was an amazing game. I'd love to see what they've done with Kingdoms of Amalur 2. That would have been quite amazing. But
loads of games do that, like Kid Chameleon on the Sega did that.
Yeah, but I think with Amalur, it was the first one I played where it was narrative driven, and it was kind of like the stories and stuff were in it. It wasn't just World of Warcraft style fetch quests and stuff like that. There were bits you could find, letters that sent you on little side quests you didn't have to do and all that. It was the first one I remember thinking, actually, this is really... It's deeper than you think it might be. It looks like quite a shallow game up front, but actually there's quite a lot of depth to it. Not in the gameplay way, maybe so much, but certainly in the kind of the narrative, the ways it went. The other thing I was going to ask is, with the Switch, what else are you playing on it at the moment? Or is it a bit of a... Do you feel it's a bit of a dead spot at the moment? Because, I mean, Zelda's obviously massive, but I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think, without Zelda... we'd still have excitement about Switch. Obviously, we've got Odyssey coming up.
Depends what you like. I mean, it did just come out, didn't it?
Yeah, that's
I'm wondering if Zelda's carrying it, you know what I mean? Well, I know it's carrying it, but I mean...
Well, of course it is.
No, I've got about 12 fucking games on the thing.
Yeah, but ones that have been sort of released in the last 5 years,
Yeah, and ones you've played more than a few minutes.
No. I'm really not trying to shill. I'm trying to work out...
I kind of know what you mean. I mean... The problem is, you know, you get what is it really, 2 or 3 months between like the major releases, and now I know one of them has been Mario Kart, which we've already had.
Yeah. But that's okay if you missed it on the Wii.
It is, and obviously the amount of Switches that they're selling now, there's a hell of a lot of fucking people who haven't missed
it. I wish they'd have been able to connect your account so they recognised that you bought it previously and offered you some kind of discount or reward.
That would have been a nice little handshake. Yeah. But no, I think we've got to remember at the end of the day, the thing's 16 weeks old.
Oh, still a baba. The fact that you know that is just tragic.
Yeah, I don't think it... I think it would... it would have been in trouble without Zelda at launch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad it's got Zelda, because it means people have kind of bought into it, and it gives it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just picked up what is it today? Implosion.
Don't know.
That's kind of a hack and slash kind of Devil May Cry type of game.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's like mechs and stuff.
No, so I remember speaking about this beforehand, before I sold it, how I was surprised that, you know, 6 months before release, we were sitting there going, shit, it's only going to have three games on it when it launched, you know. And actually, when it's now, if you look at its library, you know, even if you take out, the shit old stuff, Pet, it's got more games than we thought it was going to have in the first 2 years.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it does. It definitely has way more games than we thought. But the quality of some of the games are like, I tweeted that when Nintendo tweeted its June highlights.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, it said like we've seen loads of great games, and I clicked on the video and it was like, Jesus, this is what you consider great games.
Yeah, but you
like,
get that with every console. I think it's just a dead month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a dead month.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It's summer. I know we've got Splatoon 2 at the end of the month. We've got the Rabbids game. You know,
there's some big hits coming. Have you got things like Stardew Valley and Steam World and all that sort of stuff out on it yet?
Exactly. Well,
Stardew Valley's been delayed.
Oh, has it? Oh man, that's a bummer. That would have Clarky would have just spent years in that.
Oh yeah, and Steam World I'm looking forward to. But no, there's stuff coming out that I'm looking forward to, and it's coming out a lot more frequently than stuff did on the Wii U.
See, they probably kept it if they'd have put in the top of that Switch, if they'd have put a bloody DS cartridge. I'd have been all over that.
Man, I know what they are going to do. I mean, some of the dry spots is like we kind of had a conversation about this briefly, Pet. That they are going to re-release quite a number of Wii U games because there's some really good games that you know
Treasure
they
Tracker.
Know people.
Treasure Tracker. Exactly.
Well, maybe so, but Platinum have tweeted out an image this week, kind of showing.
Yes, Bayonetta.
The Bayonetta character from Bayonetta 1 and the Bayonetta character from Bayonetta 2, sort of against a red Joy-Con coloured background and a blue Joy-Con coloured background. And there was one today, which was some characters from The Wonderful 101, which was a hugely underrated game on Wii U, but they're all gathered around the table playing a Switch, and it's like, yeah, that I'm kind of hoping will be a newer game, because with some of the way that played, it kind of needed the two screens on Wii U, so I'd be interested to see what they're gonna do with that. But yeah, there's games coming from it, and I'm quite happy waiting, you know, 4 or 8 weeks at a time for a new game to come out. I've got other consoles to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's
well.
The thing. I mean, if you think about me and the PlayStation, there's not, when you talk about new releases, I mean, since Horizon Zero Dawn, Neo, you know, we had a spate within a month where I think we had three games come out that were quite big. And then there's been nothing really since then that I've been tempted to buy.
One of the other advantages, you know, the indies that are going to be coming out on this, yeah, they'll come out on PS4 and Xbox, but, you know, the Switch is going to be my go-to place to pick them
I've
up.
I've heard that from a lot of people. Though.
Not for me.
Really?
Not for me. No way, because whatever comes out on both, I'm not buying on Switch anymore due to NBA Playgrounds.
What?
NBA Playgrounds, after 8 weeks of being out, it still has no online mode. The mode that was promised.
But isn't that down to the game? Or is the PS4 got it?
Yeah.
No, yeah, the PS4
has it. Okay.
So I
blame the developers for that, not necessarily Nintendo.
What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's definitely.
And to be fair, you are going to get a free game as an apology.
I don't want Shaq game.
Yeah, they're giving the new
Kung Fu Shaq.
I want
online NBA.
He gets a new Shaq Fu game for free.
But this is the thing.
Why would they think? Would they think like, oh, okay, well, he likes NBA. He must love this Shaq Kung Fu game.
If they can pull it out of the bag, if they can pull it like. You know, the Switch, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, if it comes out on all three platforms, I want it on the Switch. Because, you know, it's the best place to play it. And I think that's probably true.
It is a Nintendo game.
Oh, no, I think for a lot of games, you know. For example, if
Stardew Valley.
Not just that, but think about the whole fact that it's portable, it's touchscreen, and that I can also dock it. Yeah. You think about something like XCOM 2. If you could have XCOM 2 on that, that would on the Switch. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but
I mean, you've got Rabbids,
like,
so it's almost the same.
Well, it's like Pet as well. I mean, he was kind of lambasting the new FIFA because it doesn't have what that fucking story mode in it.
Well,
but you know, there was one guy looking at it who's saying, you know, but this kind of has a pretty good trump card because it's really really good game to play when you've got a couple of people. We switches with them. And that's not something you get on any other version of it. They said that's kind of the trump card for it. And they said, you know, this is a really solid game as well. So, yeah, it is. For me, the content's there. When I've not been playing Battlefield 1, I've pretty much been playing on the Switch. There's been very little to it. I mean, Horizon, I've only played about halfway through that, and I'm just lost interest in it.
Yeah, I can understand that. If you don't, that's why I made sure I sort of went through that in one go almost.
That's it. Yeah, the only kind of non-Switch things I'm playing on is stuff, you know, that my go-to games like Elite Dangerous or bloody Battlefield 1. I'm just not feeling it for anything else at the moment.
You seem disappointed.
What
in it,
are
Peter?
You playing on the Switch then? Before the Zelda demo, before the Zelda DLC, what have you been playing?
Mario Kart, Minecraft. You know, I got Wonder Boy. I picked up about 11 games. I'm still only partway through Setsuna.
Clark is one of those weird people, who'll play games from 20 years ago and still enjoy them. And I can't do that. And that's not a slight play. That's just, I'd love to be able to do that, but I can't. I play a game from 10 years ago, and I'm like, this looks like shit. You know,
there's nothing wrong.
No, but
with
it
that.
Is for me. I mean, I went back and tried to play the original Deus Ex a couple of weeks ago, and
Look at this. The only game I'm really looking forward to on PS4 is out next week, and that's the re-release of Final Fantasy XII, because it's the only one I never actually played.
Didn't even realize it was
coming out. And that's getting, you know, that's getting some absolutely rave reviews, that is.
Destiny 2?
Well, yeah, Destiny 2.
Call of Duty?
I'm not picking Call of Duty. I'd rather have my fucking balls gnawed off by rats than by COD game.
It's gonna be
great. Nino Kuni 2. Well, these games aren't out yet, are they?
No.
Yeah, neither is anything on Switch though. If we're gonna take it that way, neither is. I don't know. FIFA. It's not.
I would take FIFA on the Switch.
It's not Frostbite FIFA.
I don't care what it looks like, because it's about the fact that I can play it. It's got if it's got the same gameplay but it's a little bit low res, then I'll take that, because. What the hell, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about other people, but me personally, the only thing I was looking forward to with last year's FIFA was the journey mode, and it's not in the Switch one, so there goes that.
Well, no, but I don't expect someone like you, who's already got an ecosystem on the PS4 for playing FIFA. You already have the slot.
Yeah, there's no reason
for
you to pick it up.
Why would you pick it up on the Switch? You ain't gonna do it, because you want that. I know you've got the Pro controller for it, but that's not the Switch, is it? I mean, really, the Switch is designed to be played with the Joy-Cons, either in handheld mode or between you. No,
the Pro controller is better than the PS4 controller, mate.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't like the PS4 controller.
No, probably about this, because I actually. Pet knows this. I actually got this as a birthday present.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you got it. Yes, I'm glad it reached you. Yes. Happy birthday, Parky.
Happy birthday.
No, seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
It's just typical. The console people say there's no games for has the best fucking controller. Aside from it being all digital triggers and everything on it, it's got the best build quality. It's a rechargeable battery, but this battery lasts, you know, it's more in comparison with the Xbox One of 2 AA's than the, what, 3 or 4 hours you got off a fucking PS4 controller.
Yeah,
exactly. But no, the build quality on this thing is, I mean, the only issue I have with it is I don't know why, but the fucking vibration on it's really weak compared to the Joy-Cons, but aside from that, no, it is a really, really solid controller.
I just think it's all about how comfort a controller is to hold.
It is, but it's got a bit more heft to it, and it doesn't feel as kind of, you know, if you really grip the Xbox controller, you can start hear it going, you know, creaking, and it's sort of giving way, but it's fucking solid.
I've been using the Xbox controller a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I went back on Battlefield with the PS4 controller last night, and I was just like, it doesn't compare. The Xbox why can't I play with that on every console? Because it's such a good controller. But there we go.
All right. Well, no, top marks for the Switch controller. I look forward to rebuying Bayonetta again and playing with it.
Yeah, why not? Anything else in Clarky?
And well, I've done pretty well.
Yeah, you did well.
I think that's the longest I've ever carried out anything in any episode we've done ever.
So we'll get you on again when the next Zelda DLC's on, and
leave it till the next Zelda game comes out. You know, it'll be the last game the Switch gets, and it'll also get released on Nintendo.
Well, depending on how Nintendo's release schedule does, you know, the daughter might find a little Switch in her Christmas stocking.
Oh, here we go.
I doubt it.
Well, it's fair. I mean, fair play to you. I mean, you didn't lose anything on it, did you?
Yeah, not really.
I did, but
not enough. I mean, I've got my money's worth out. I got what I wanted.
Looking at the fucking demand on these things, you'd be lucky to get one for Christmas.
I can wait. So, Pet, you can wake up now, mate. Look at him. Looking in the mirror, preening himself. We know. What have you been on this week?
I did buy a Switch game, but I'm not really going to talk about it too much.
You can't leave.
I bought Bomberman.
Bomberman? Why? Why did you buy Bomberman? We've been slating that game since launch.
Because it was on sale.
Have you ever played any Bomberman games before?
No.
First one?
No, you did. Again, this is something I should have been getting more excited about than you. I used to love Bomberman, but. You know, this was a game of its time. Yeah, it was worth 40 quid when you bought it on the SNES, but I mean even if they released that shit on the PS4, it wouldn't have been worth 40 quid.
Mate, it's not even worth like £15. It's just,
you get a refund?
There's nothing.
You send it back.
No, well, yeah. Mate, me getting a refund from Nintendo. Yeah, as if.
Ain't happening.
Like, it really weird stuff as well. Like, I actually counted this because the soundtrack is so shite. Like, it actually, it's the only soundtrack I've heard in a long, long time that's driven me like crazy. Like, even during the menu, and I counted it, there's a 10-second loop on the shittest soundtrack ever. 10 seconds. Can they not have just made it 30 seconds at least, like a minute?
They need to get a pet on them, man. You need to write some tracks for them, yeah?
Well, it's just literally like
it's the Nokia theme tune, basically, is what you're telling me.
It's a Nokia ringtone.
Well, it's nothing like that, but my God, the man, like, I have to mute the TV when I'm in the menu. Like, that's how bad it is.
God.
And then, like, when you, for some reason, the in thing, I guess, is you can now buy accessories and plop them on your head. So when you go into a game and you pick your character, you click on him, X, you pick him, and then he just, if you don't know what's going on, he just turns around and starts showing you his arse and dancing, but this is where you pick what you want to go in his head. It's just really strange.
Have you ever played Spelunky?
It's so strange.
Pat, have you ever played Spelunky?
No.
Okay, maybe you should go and have a look at that instead, because that might be more up your street. You might like a bit of that.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing, bro?
I don't even want to talk about it. So I want to talk about a PlayStation experience.
Experience.
Yeah. So
this is where Clarky goes off to get a drink now. You watch.
This is where he goes off. PlayStation sent me an email saying, whatever. Do you want to try this code for UEFA Champions League VR experience? That. Yeah. Did you try it as well?
On what?
On the PlayStation VR.
Which I haven't.
Oh, sorry. Well, did you try it on? Did you just say you had?
No, they sent me an email. Why ain't got PSVR?
Oh, okay, fine, okay. So yeah, I went and tried it, and it was. I mean, I know you could do this during the game as well, but I was going to do it off YouTube, which I think was just someone's like stood a camera and you know, it's everything's in VR. But when you go into this, when you clicked on it, it basically showed a clip from the Champions League final. And it was amazing. It was so, so good. It was like they basically made a 3D room. Mm-hmm. So the room's in 3D. And you're on a couch with like, you know, like where Gary Lineker does like Match of the Day and he can see the pitch.
Yes.
Like from his little studio. It's one of those rooms. Mm. But you've got the 3D room around you. You're in the middle of the pitch, though. You're not on the like corner like Gary Lineker. You're in the middle of the pitch, yeah. 3D room. In front of you is the real pitch, and you can see it from that view. Mm-hmm. So you can see the whole pitch like as if you were there. And above and above you, like, there's a big, big TV, probably like a 60-inch TV, just above you, not too high, which shows you what they show on TV. So you can see, like, the view from far away in real time, and you can also see, like, the TV view in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it was so, so good. And if you click a button, you can change your position, and then your position is just behind the goal. And it's there's no 3D. It's just, you know, you are in VR world and you're behind the goal line, literally behind the goal, like a camera, which was okay. But you can't see what happens when you go to the side pitch. But when it's in the middle of the room, it is amazing. It's, you know, it is.
This is one of the things I was really hoping for. I was really hoping for example, like I could buy like a season ticket to Goodison Park or something, or, you know, Emirates or fucking, I don't know.
It's such a brilliant idea.
You know, and actually sort of like have a season ticket where I pay a fiver a game, and they literally stick a camera on a pole on the halfway line, about 5-7 meters up or something.
That's what this is.
And then I can just watch it. You know, hey, this is fun. But I don't know. I really hope they bring that in, because that's the kind of thing I'm looking at. When Clark is saying, oh, there's no games on it. No, but if they can bring me this, I'll be quite happy.
Experiences. Yeah, I mean, sort of the survey said, like, okay, what did you think of it, da, 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 da. Where would you like to see this? Would you like to see
Pornhub.
This at tennis events, the Olympics, at whatever. Pornhub, it didn't say Pornhub, but it just said, like, what events would you like to see, Formula One? So, like, they're obviously testing the waters. The only thing I would say, again, is for me, for someone like me, it doesn't work because I don't have high-speed internet. So, for me, it's absolutely useless.
That's your own, like, the idea of it was good, isn't it?
Yeah, but
let's not talk about your internet.
I wonder if they'll ever do that, where they'll, like, they'll put a woman in surrounded by kind of VR cameras, and it'll be like a huge VR Bukkake party.
No, Clarky, that's wrong. Oh, mate. See, that was me thinking about what happens if I could sit, you know, in a Formula One car at the Monaco Grand Prix, as if I was in the Formula One car. You know what I mean? That'd be outstanding. And then when you did a replay, so, like, something happened, like you had that whole thing with what's his name, Hamilton, and was it Vettel last week or whatever?
Yeah,
you know, you could actually say, I want to be in that car when that happens, to see what, you know, what that's like. I mean, that's the kind of thing that VR is going to just make so much sense for. That's gonna be great.
The football experience was really brilliant.
It's interesting, because really, I've heard a couple of people say it was shit, so I think the first person I've heard is it's really good. Yeah.
Maybe did they watch it live?
I don't know, mate. I honestly don't know. I just saw it. It's a couple of people posted up on Facebook, and it was like,
The event might have been the same, but depending on what they've done, it completely changes it. Like, I had a fake PlayStation controller in front of me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, many times in VR games, you have that fake 3D controller. Mm-hmm. And, like, pressing a button in it straight away, sort of out of the controller popped, like, the team sheet, all the stats, like, you swiped left and you saw...
It's a bit like the BT Sports app, which is great when you're watching football and you've got all the little bits and you can...
Yeah, it was like that, you know, and you could click on different clips straight away and see, like, it was really good, but that wasn't happening when VR was shown live, when it was like, okay, the UEFA Champions League is in VR live. It was literally just, they just plonked the camera and you were there. This was like a whole, you know... thing built around it, like a whole system built around it, and that's how it can be done properly. So that was really good. And apart from Bomberman, that and the UEFA game, I've played Batman.
Don't talk about Batman yet, because I'm going to be playing that this week, because I've got it on PC. So that one.
Wait, mate, I'm not going to talk about it then, but I'm going to tell you, so far for me, the best looking graphical game out there.
I played the first part of it. I played it at PSVR experience when it was in Bristol last year, whenever it was, before Christmas.
Do you remember what it looked like?
Yeah, yeah.
How far into it are you, Pet? 10 hours? 20 hours?
No, just like...
I was only played it once, Clarky.
I'm only like 45 minutes, an hour into it, something like that.
It was good. The bit I played, because in the demo bit, they did the bit where you start off in Wayne Manor, and then you go down and you kind of dress as Batman or whatever, and you see yourself in the mirror and that, and you go down into the Batcave and you get to throw a few batarangs around. But that's basically all you got to do. It's literally like a 5-minute, 10-minute section. So probably half the game. But it was, from the bit I played was good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's on Steam. When it launched on Steam, it came out at 15 quid. So I was like, yeah, I'll have that. So I need to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it for, like, I think it was on sale for, like, I think it was like £12.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter's mad into Batman, so I'm hoping to stick her into it, but I need to play it through first just to make sure that it's
No, I forgot to.
Clarky. It's her birthday this week. She'll get a present. That's what I'm saying.
So nice being in that world, though, in that Batman world. I wish it was a full-blown title.
Yeah, that'll come. That'll come. Oh, well, you're really light on content this week. Thanks, Pat. Luckily, I'm here to save the day, because obviously I played... Yeah, I played nothing.
What have you brought for
Well,
us?
I've played.
This could work. This could work in our favour because my battery is really low.
I've played a bit more Elite Dangerous, which I'm still loving. It's still the best in VR. I've played lots more. When I say lots more, it's I don't think I'm even halfway through it yet. I've played lots more of the New Order, the Wolfenstein. I got to the bit where you can actually go and play the old Wolfenstein, so I played that.
Oh, that's great.
That's really good fun, but I'm not, I popped in there, had a bit of a go of it, and then when I died, left it. Still really enjoying that game. Loving the story as well, which is weird because it's just fucking mental. But just the guns in that game just make it.
Oh, it is. That's why you really need to get on the old blood, because if you think that's mental, the fucking story in that is off the rails.
Is it Starbreeze that had done Wolfenstein? Because it plays like a Starbreeze game. It feels like a Starbreeze game. Starbreeze are the guys who did... I'll Google it, actually. Starbreeze were the people who did... The Chronicles of Riddick games and stuff.
All right.
It plays a lot like a kind of a Riddick game, where it's kind of like you have little spaces and you... like non-combat bits, and then you go out and you have your combat section. It's all really nicely paced, and it's got a surprisingly good narrative going through it all and stuff. Really, really cool. So, yeah. Okay. So what I brought for you instead was I brought you a little quiz. Hey. After my travesty of justice from last week, which I did listen back to.
What was the problem with
Your scoring, but let's not talk about it now, huh?
I didn't see any problems.
Yeah. So,
I was kind of channeling Pat on that, where I was just like awarding random points and stuff, and you know, I was going to say 3 million points for the last question, but ten was enough.
So, I thought what I'd do instead was it come about with I was talking about ratings on games a couple of weeks ago, right? And I remember you've heard of you all know about the ESRB ratings, right? Oh, yeah. So when you go on a game, you'll have like an ESRB rating of T for teen or M for mature or E for everyone and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So similar to the you know the UPG 12, 15, 18, whatever it is on things. Yeah?
Okay?
So I thought it was interesting. So I went to the ESRB website, and what they do on the ESRB website is they give you a synopsis of the game telling you why it's achieved the rating. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you both the synopsis of some games on the ESRB website, okay?
I bet there's some really ridiculous
ones. I want you to tell me the game I'm talking about. And obviously, I'm going to remove any obvious links to said game, okay? I've only picked out seven because I thought, you know, Let's do this right. So give me a second while I just I boot up the old iPhone, which apparently is obsolete now. Thanks, Apple, you fucks.
No, yours is still relevant.
Is it my watch?
Is it a 5S?
Oh, fuck knows. It doesn't say on the back, does it?
Yeah, it's a 5. It's the 5. The 5.
Yeah, my wife's got the 5C, so she's fucked.
The 5 crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is the 5 crap irrelevant?
Five cheap.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's not rub it in, eh? This would be the best time for my...
The 5 crap.
Shut up. Bought that for my wife's 40th. Shut up.
What do you think the C stands for?
What does the C stand for?
Fucking hell, you bought it for a 40th. You must be nearly 50 now.
Shut up, Clark. You're not helping me, all right? I'm just waiting for ESRB to boot itself up.
Well, watch this. Our website is currently experiencing problems.
Okay, yeah, pretty much, right. So, this game, I'm going to obviously have to cut out a few little bits and pieces because it will tell things like the names of the characters, the worlds, and all that sort of stuff. But if I'll give you the category. So, this is an M for mature game. The content descriptors are blood and gore, intense violence, nudity, strong language, strong sexual content, use of alcohol. Okay, so
Until Dawn.
Wait, man, I haven't even got to the bloody summary yet.
Is it until
no.
dawn? No. Okay.
So give it a bit of time, let it sink through, see if you can work it out. Clark, you'll get it. So this is an open world RPG in which players assume a role.
The Witcher 3.
Exploring a war-ravaged world while completing quests and killing enemy soldiers and fantastical creatures.
Dragon Age Inquisition.
No, I'm just going to keep reading. Characters engage in melee-style combat using swords and other bladed weapons, as well as magical attacks. Combat.
Witcher 3.
Combat. Combat is highlighted. Hang on, where is it? Yeah, I've lost it now. Combat is highlighted by screams of pain and impact sounds. Large blood splatter effects occur when enemies are slashed, and some attacks resulting in decapitation or dismemberments. Some cutscenes depict slow motion decapitations and other gore, an autopsy of a torture victim, rooms with several corpses, e.g. hanging from the ceiling, covered in blood, naked in a tub.
It sounds so bad, doesn't it?
The course of the game, the central character can engage in sexual activity with prostitutes and female companions.
Oh, yeah.
These brief sequences depict females' breasts and buttocks. Sexual moaning sounds can be heard, although the camera cuts away from explicit sexual acts. The game includes a side quest in which Geralt engages in drinking game. Characters are depicted drunk and or passed out. The words fuck, shit and cunt can be heard in the dialogue.
That makes it sound so bad.
So that's one to Clarky. It's just this site is just brilliant. So I'm gonna do another one here. Let's have a look. Let's hope ESRB can keep up, please, with our high-tech, fast-moving show. Okay. This, okay, is an E for everyone. Content descriptors. Cartoon violence. Comic mischief. Mild language. I'm not going to tell you that bit. From a top-down perspective, players explore whimsical environments and engage in turn-based battles against enemies.
Mario and Rabbids.
Characters use cartoony blasters and grenade-like explosives to defeat enemies who disappear into pixels. Some cutscenes and attack animations depict slow motion and or close-up damage effects. During the course of the games, Rabbids make occasional flatulence noises. Characters are also depicted bathing in toilets, scratching their buttocks and or sitting on toilets' pipes. The word hell appears in the game.
I can't wait for this game.
How the hell did you get that from that? From a top-down perspective, players explore whimsical environments and engage in turn-based battles against enemies. And you went...
Turn-based battles.
I'm not sure. You got a phone in your hand. If you're on the ESRB website, you can stop it.
Well, no, the phone's currently projecting an image of me and Sam to you guys. Yeah,
he's got a point. You've probably got another phone.
No, the tablet's charging in the kitchen.
Pet, you need to pick your game up, mate. All right? You need to pick it up.
Mate, he's too good.
Vimesy will probably do a last one that only you can get, and he's worth 3,000 points.
This one has got a teen rating, T for teen, which is also, coincidentally or not, a category on Pornhub. Content descriptors.
It is.
Drug.
Is it? No, of course.
Drug reference, fantasy violence. This is an online role-playing game in which pilots pilot a spaceship through a variety of missions around the galaxy. Players can engage in mining, exploration, trade, and various combat missions.
Elite Dangerous.
Some missions task players with destroying Pacific figures, ships for profit. Combat is depicted from a first-person perspective with spaceships shooting lasers, machine guns, and missiles at target ships. Combat is highlighted by gunfire and explosions. Players can trade several different items in space station, including items labelled as narcotics. Clarky, yep, bang on. Elite Dangerous. 3-0, Pet, you need to pull your finger out, mate. I mean, you know.
Well, these are all like Clarky's
favourite games. Here we go. The accusations come.
Where's the FIFA and the Call of Duty reference?
This is a game with football in it.
FIFA.
I should look up FIFA. I wonder what it says. Spoiler, it's not in this quiz. Okay, so this is a T for teen game. Again, you know, I'm not going to say it. Content descriptors, language, mild blood, partial nudity, violence. This is going to give it away a little bit. This is an RPG in which players control
South Park
as they attempt to save a kingdom from evil forces. Well, that's narrowed it down for us all, hasn't it? From a third-person perspective, Players move around battlefields and city environments, perform various quests, battle assortment of human and fantastical enemies. Characters use swords, guns, and magic attacks to defeat soldiers and oversized animals in frenetic combat. Fights are highlighted by cries of pain. Well done, Pet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fights are highlighted by cries of pain, dramatic light effects, and realistic gunfire. A handful of cutscenes depict characters impaled on swords. One.
That's probably calmed down a bit from Final Fantasy XIII, which says lighting effects which rape your eyeballs.
another scene. Oh, hang on. One cutscene involves a woman being stabbed off screen. Okay. Another scene depicts a character with a blood-stained wound. During the course of the game, wait for it, some female characters are depicted topless, with breasts that lack discernible details, i.e. no nipples. The word shit appears in the dialogue. Does it have topless people in it? With no nipples?
Yeah, I think Shiva, one of the summons, doesn't have top. You kind of a boobies are visible.
Yeah.
You can fish in VR.
Well, disappointing. So is that three one to Pet? 3-1 to Clarky, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say that I just gave him that one.
Yeah, of course he did.
What a Final Fantasy, come on.
So, this one, Jesus. Okay, this is surprisingly got a mature rating. Content descriptors, blood and gore, intense violence, mature humour, nudity, strong language, strong sexual content, use of drugs, and alcohol. Right. I'm going to miss that bit. Players can switch between each character to follow their storyline, completing missions which often involve criminal activities, e.g. stealing cars, executing heists,
Grand Theft Auto,
assassinating targets. Players must use pistols, machine guns, sniper rifles, and explosives to kill various enemies. Players also have the ability to shoot non-adversary civilians, though this may negatively affect players' progress as a penalty system triggers a broad police search. Blood splatter effects occur frequently, and the game contains rare depictions of dismemberment. This, by the way, is the longest content descriptor in the entire lot, I think. Right?
I'm not surprised. this is just Trevor's.
Yeah, this is just the one. Blood splatter effects occur frequently, and the game contains rare depictions of dismemberment. In one sequence, players are directed to use various instruments and means, e.g. pipe wrench, tooth removal, and execution, to extract information from a character.
I like how it doesn't like mention that opening scene where you first meet Trevor. Where you first meet Trevor, he's having sex with that woman and then proceeds to like stamp her boyfriend to death.
Oh yeah. What about the toilet when he's trying to flush the hand down the toilet?
The game.
He's trying to kick it down.
The game includes depictions of sexual material activity, implied fellatio and masturbation, various sex acts, sometimes from a close-up perspective, and the player's character procures a prostitute. While no nudity is depicted in these sequences. Believe me, I've tried, it doesn't. Various sexual moaning sounds can be heard. Nudity is present, however, primarily in two settings, a topless lap dance in a strip club and a location that involves male cult members with exposed genitalia in non-sexual content. With the game, some cutscenes, TV programs and radio ads contain instances of mature humour, myriad sex jokes, depictions of raw sewage and faeces on a worker's body, caricatures of ethnic racial groups. Some sequences within the large game allow players to use drugs, e.g. smoking from a bong, lighting a marijuana joint, hallucinating from peyote. Cocaine use is also depicted. Players' characters can, at times, consume alcohol and drive while under
the influence. What a game.
The words fuck, cunt and nigger can be heard in the dialogue.
I love that
GTA
game.
5, everybody. Okay.
The game I bought twice, I did buy on PS4.
Yeah, it's only two more, so, yeah.
I actually protested.
Yeah. So what's that now, 4-1?
I believe so. Okay, so this is another mature game. Content descriptors, blood, intense violence, nudity, sexual content, strong language. This is a role-playing game in which players assume the role of a warrior battling evil forces. Characters can use swords, axes, hammers, and magic attacks
Skyrim.
To kill fantastical creatures and humans in melee-style combat. Cutscenes sometimes depict characters impaled or getting their throats slit. Violent sequences are often highlighted by cries of pain, gurgling stroke gushing sounds, and large blood spatter effects. Blood remains on the ground in several environments. The game includes some sexual material. A female character briefly depicted in the front of a man's torso, fellatio is implied. Characters depicted topless or with exposed buttocks while lying in bed or after sex.
God of War.
Some dialogue referencing sex stroke sexuality, e.g. I will bring myself sexual pleasure later while thinking about this with great respect, and the way your tits bounce when I pin your arms and take you on the side of the bed. The words fuck, shit, and asshole appear in dialogue. Ladies and gentlemen, Vives' game of the year, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, no.
I haven't played enough of it, mate, to know.
You would if you'd have read that first.
I didn't say that one because I'd already said it once and I was wrong. Oh. So that's still 4-1 to
me. It is still 4-1, so I wonder who's going to win. Last one. This is worth 5 points.
For 5 points?
Well, I have a feeling Clarky's still going to get it. Okay, last one. So this is M for mature. Content descriptors, sexual themes, strong language, violence. This is an open world game in which players help a teenage boy and his friends. Players punch, kick, and use various weapons, e.g. bats, giant kebabs, umbrellas, to defeat human foes and enemy creatures in hand-to-hand combat. By weakening foes, players are able to disrobe opponents down to their underwear. Female characters are often... There you go! 5 points! And the winner! Petros the Greek!
Fixed!
6-4!
Very much so. So I'm just going to complete it. By weakening foes, players are able to disrobe opponents down to their underwear. Female characters are often depicted in lingerie underwear. Still frame images sometimes depict male and female characters in provocative poses. The camera focuses on their underwear, pelvic areas, and or cleavage. The game also includes sexually suggested dialogue and text, e.g., I swear if you go out with me, every part of me is yours. And Kanda is the brutal, sadistic type, while Akihabara is the easy bottom who cries out in pleasure in bed. The words fuck, shit, and arsehole appear in dialogue.
What a game.
So, this is a fantastic website. With this game, we'll be coming back, believe you me. So, so well done, Pet. So 5-4. actually 6-4. Believe it or not.
6-4.
So yes.
It wasn't close.
It wasn't close at all, was it? I mean, you whipped his ass, didn't you, Pet? So that's
yeah.
That's good. I hope you enjoyed that. And that brings us to the end of our little show. So it's a little bit of a short one this week because. Just how it is, really, sometimes. Any reviews, Pat?
No. Nope.
Any T-shirts, Pat?
This month, coming out.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Bullshit.
So, if you do want to follow us, and why, please, if everybody would like to tweet at us, especially tweet at Pat about T-shirts, that would be really, really... Because otherwise, he's just not going to remember. So, tweet at him. Those two people, those poor listeners who deserve much respect, though.
I mean, give Pet some credit. He obviously can't even afford to turn his lights on.
There is that too. So if you do want to follow us on the Twits, you can at Confessional Pod. You can follow me at Vimesy74. You can follow Pet at Life of Pet and Clarky at Clarky Snap. If you want to email us, you can email us at Clarky.
GamersConfessional@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you've got any comments, questions, trivia, anything like that you want to throw at us, you know, please, you know, we're trying to make it more of a you throw stuff at us and we'll put it on the show because we ain't got any content kind of thing.
Has anyone checked the email address?
Yes, it's permanently on my phone, mate. It's always there. Hence why I've got people from asking about T-shirts, strangely. This seems to be the emails I'm getting at the moment. But I'm sure that's all in control.
Well, ask them to leave a review. And then
they've already left reviews, you punks. That's how they won the T-shirt.
Okay.
Anyway, so if you do want to get a hold of us, those are the ways to do it. Until next week, thank you very much for listening, and we shall see you all again next week. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Gamer's Confessional.